You're listening to Protecting What Matters by the Ohio Department of Commerce. Commerce is Ohio's chief regulator, and we play a vital role in keeping you safe by protecting your property, your money, and some of the products you use every day. This is designed to bring awareness to important issues and help educate consumers and businesses. Join us as we chat with trusted industry experts focused on providing you with the tools you need to help you protect what matters most in your life.
You don't want to consider your credit score as like a badge of honor per se, but you want to look at your credit score as being a great reflection of who you are to the financial industry, because if you're comfortable with a very good score or good score, it reflects your whole being of like your financial wellness. And I think it's important for people to consider that a part of who they are in terms of just our everyday living. If I'm financially fit, it can play along with how I am just in my everyday life. And if we continue to do the best that we can to improve our financial health, it reflects us in many ways. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Protecting What Matters. I'm Michaela Hunt, Communications Director for the Ohio Department of Commerce. A couple questions for you today. First of all, do you know the difference between a credit report and a credit score? And did you know checking your credit score and or your report can help you detect fraud? There is so much information concerning credit, but so little consumers are aware of. And we wanted to discuss crucial facts that you really need to know to understand your credit and everything that may impact it. Joining us today for that conversation, Victoria Yurkovic with the Division of Financial Institutions. Victoria, good to have you on.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about how important this is to know what our score is and how it helps us ultimately save money, which we all want to do, but I hadn't really made the connection back necessarily in an everyday way to my score.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people do think about it as if I have a good credit score or an excellent credit score, it in the long run can save me money. Because when you think of a score, you're thinking, oh, you know, this is just the score that a lender would see, you know, can I pay my bills on time? Or, you know, is the amount of loan, the value of it, a good number for me that I'll be able to pay it off in the long run or anything like that. But nobody really thinks, you know, the higher your score, the more you are credit worthy per se. And a lender might think, I'll lower that interest rate for that potential loan. Or I might qualify for a better loan per se in what I'm looking for to purchase. So there are ways that having a higher score can pay off in the long run in terms of saving you money.
Got it. And the other thing I wasn't aware of is a credit score versus a credit report. Mm-hmm. I just thought I got my score from my credit report. Is there more to it than that?
So in a way, a lot of people, first off, you know way more than a lot of people know, and I'm going to be honest with you. There are some people that think a report is a score and a score is a report.
Oh,
like,
okay.
There's no differentiation for them. So when we think of a report, it's really the collection of our information regarding our credit, you know, our personal information, name, where we've lived, how long we've had credit, your first credit card that you opened maybe at 18 or 20, and then, you know, anything recent, and then how often you make payments, if you have any late payments. It's just a collection of your creditworthiness. The score is basically taking that collection of information and making it a mathematical, like, number.
I'm getting graded, basically.
Yes. We continued the education system throughout our life. So then the lenders will take the information, the three major credit bureaus will take that information, and then they will push out a score, and then that's what lenders use when they want to evaluate your application for a loan.
Okay, let's say someone has a late payment on their report. How long does it stay on there and stay impacting that report? And how does it impact
okay,
it?
Okay, so when we kind of discuss a little bit later on the credit and our history and our payments, when we make them on time, how that affects our score, actually late payments make a huge difference for people. I don't think people think like, oh, I missed a payment, 60 days went by, the credit company filed it through one of the major credit bureaus, and now I have a missed payment on my credit report. That's not a big deal, it's just one thing. But it is, because it takes up like 35% of what they consider your score.
35% can be attributed of my score to
one
late payment.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And so when we think of little things like that, that's when it adds up. That's where your decrease can happen by 20 points. And that 20-point difference can put you from an excellent score to just a good score. And for some people, it's like, well, I'm going from like an A to a B. But for a lender, it's going from an A to a B. So late payments can stay with you for about 7 years on your credit report. Now, the lengthier, like, let's say I missed a payment back in 2018. It's been 5 years. It's not going to have the same effect that it did 5 years ago, but it's still going to be there for another 2 years, and then it'll kind of get knocked off. And then when you think of, like, bankruptcy usually stays on record send. Sometimes it could take up to 10 years for it to come off your credit report.
With the credit report, how can I check it? How do I go about doing that?
So annualcreditreport.com is the go-to website when you want to check your credit report. When COVID happened, they kind of revised the annual part, because usually every 12 months you can have your actual legit annual credit report through all the three credit bureaus, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. But when COVID happened, they allowed weekly. And this is actually going to keep up the remainder of the year. So up until December of 2023, you can have weekly credit report or credit reports sent to you if you want to kind of examine where you're at. But that is the go-to place to get your credit report. When you get it through the three different credit bureaus, you're going to want to check them all individually because they all process them differently. You're going to want to make sure that you look at everything down to your personal information, your new address, the longevity of how long you've had these credits, cards or loans. Make sure everything on there is to a T accurate. If you notice that something closed and you weren't aware of it, even check in on that, because we've had that happen. Let's say you got that, you know, retail credit card because it was 20% off for that purchase, and we've all done it.
Sky Miles, whatever they're offering.
Right.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I haven't used this credit card in a while. And then you go and look your report and they closed it on you. And you didn't pay attention because maybe you got one email that said, we're closing your account if you don't use it by this date. Or sometimes they just close it because you haven't used it for so many years. And when they close a credit line on you, it affects your score. And people don't realize it. So these are the types of things that you're going to want to look at. You want to really examine your collection of information because that will affect your score.
Prior to this change with COVID, which, everybody listening, we should all be checking our score frequently if you're looking to build your credit, especially this year. But prior to COVID, is it true that we would get pinged if we checked our credit report too much?
So no. So that is like always been like this weird myth.
Okay.
So people thought like if I checked my credit score, that's going to like ding me 10 points or I'm going to get kind of like, you know.
It's going to flag somebody.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they're soft checks. And soft checks really do not have the same impact like hard inquiries do. So if you were applying for like a home loan and you actually went through the process of an application through a bank or a mortgage lender, that is when they do a hard check on you. And that is where it can ding you if you have too many of those back to back. So if you actually do your homework and check your score on your own and make sure you're really like right before you're getting maybe an application through a lender or through the bank, you can actually save yourself having multiple applications from multiple places. Because we always encourage people to shop around for good rates. But you having an idea of what your credit is before you go into that process will ultimately save you.
So with these three credit reporting bureaus, if I go to get a home loan, let's say, is that lender checking with all three? Why do we have this? I've always wondered about this.
So some will utilize one of them. Some will, you know, we only use Experian. Some will say we are an Equifax. Some will do TransUnion. Most of them use all three, which is your Vantage score. So your Vantage score will take all three of them, kind of do some like algorithm median type of score, and then they give you one score based off all three, and they utilize that. So that's why like you can, and it's funny though, because like you can get, let's say, an Experian score and you're like, oh, I'm like 740, but then you look at Equifax and it's like 690 and you're like, why is there such a difference? They have their own algorithms, mathematical ways of processing it. So sometimes it is an advantage to have the Vantage score, so you have all three of them kind of like averaged out instead of just one.
And how about joint accounts? How do those impact my score if I share a credit card with a spouse or a partner?
It will only affect your score if something negatively happens. So when I bring up joint accounts, I want people to understand your, let's say you take a joint loan, you and your spouse or a partner buy a home together, you both are on there, you both have the loan in your name. It's going to show up separately on your credit reports. There is no joint account score. I don't want to confuse people, but what I like to bring up about joint accounts is if somebody has a way that they're on your account for like a credit card and they're able to make, you know, take your credit card and use it, but they don't have access to pay it, and that affects you, it's not going to affect them. So basically, when I bring up joint accounts, I just want people to be aware of when you get a joint account with someone, whether it's a loan or a credit card, be cautious of who has access to this card, because it can affect you regardless if you're sharing it with somebody.
So what negatively impacts your score and what can help it? We're going to tackle some of those questions after the break. This is Protecting What Matters.
It's your money, come and claim it. The Ohio Department of Commerce Division of Unclaimed Funds is currently safeguarding more than $3 billion in unclaimed funds. So there's a good chance you or someone you know has money waiting to be claimed. Just head over to our website, unclaimedfunds.ohio.gov, to search your name, the name of a family member, or a loved one to see if you have an unclaimed fund.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're talking with Victoria Yurkovic today about all the things that impact your credit score. And we're going to get to what negatively impacts your score and what you can do to help it here in just a minute. But first, Victoria, you know, are there other websites where we can go and check our score? And do we want to do that?
So you want to regularly check your credit score. I mean, you don't have to do it like weekly or monthly, but maybe like four times a year is a really good kind of starting point. And now more than ever, a lot of financial institutions and credit card companies are providing a credit score to you if you want to opt in and get that information from them. And it is legitimate as long as they're providing information that lets you know that they're utilizing the three credit bureaus and calculating, getting the calculated score that way, then you shouldn't have any worries of it being, you know, inaccurate or if it being, you know, fraud, because that's a big issue with people. But I would stay wary of like doing your just traditional Google check my credit score for free search, because that's when we can sometimes get a little bit of the crazy websites popping up.
But and we do it because it's convenient, right?
Yes,
we
exactly.
Just Google it because it's convenient.
But even more convenient now than ever, the CFPB, which stands for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, has a website. They have a document that actually lists a lot of the companies now that provide credit scores to folks, mostly for free. So I would say go to their website and utilize that list to start. And it would give you a really good starting point as to where you are with the three different credit bureaus, and just kind of see what improvements you might need to make.
And I must not be paying as close attention as I should. So is the bank that I get my credit card through or the credit card company, are they sending me my score and I just haven't realized it?
So they've been individually contacting folks through email or through your, if you have the bank app that you use. They're never going to, let's say, just give it to you on a bank statement or anything like that. I won't imagine it's probably security breach issues or something of that sort. But they, I think, are starting to contact people. I know I've started to get from one of the credit card companies that I have a card through, they sent me a notice back in the fall and said, we're starting to incorporate credit scores into our bank apps. Would you like to opt in? And then we'll send it to you regularly.
So check the box and opt into the app. Got it. Okay. So let's talk about those things that really negatively impact our credit, what decreases our credit score, things that we may not even realize.
So to kind of get an understanding of how my score is, you know, the mathematical equation that's used, they take about five different key factors and there's different percentages that are attached to it. So for instance, I talked about earlier about a missed payment or a late payment for a credit card. Payment history is 35% of your score, the value of your score. So if you miss a payment and it gets reported to the credit bureau and it's on there, it can affect your score. It can kind of ultimately decrease it by 20 points in some instances. So that's 35%. 30% is the credit utilization. So how much credit I have available based on the loans or the credit cards that I have out. So if I have a credit card that's like $5,000 and then I have a student loan and, you know, I owe, let's say $40,000 with the combination of student loans, credit cards, a car loan, and my total credit lines, if you add them all up, is like $50,000. So I am using up $40,000 of $50,000 of loans. That credit utilization is high, and that kind of looks bad. I have too much debt, and it's not low enough for a potential lender. So that's 30%. That's why paying down debt or having a good debt to income to debt ratio is really important. 15% is the length of credit history. You know, how long have I had my loans or my credit cards? That's why it's important sometimes to remember student loans. When you go to college at 18, start your credit history, or if you take out a very small credit card at that age, it starts your credit history. 10% is any new credit. So if you've had any new credit cards or a new loan that you took out recently, that impacts your score. And then credit mix, that's another 10%. So what's the variety of my credit? Is it just all credit cards? Is it all just loans? Or do I have a healthy mix? Because if you have a healthy mix, again, you look credit worthy to potential lenders down the road. So what are some things that negatively impact that? Missing payments, having too many credit cards and not paying off the balance, having high debt. So if you have, you know, if you look at your income and your debt and your ratio per se, if you have, you know, over 50% of your credit cards have some type of balance on them or your loans, doesn't look very good. You want to try to keep that pretty low. The lower the better, but usually the standard is as long as it's around 30-35%, then you're okay with that.
How do you raise your score? I mean, you see these companies, which I'm sure you're going to tell me aren't necessarily legit. Oh, we can raise your credit score. Yeah. We can get this done. What are the ways we can raise it, which are legit? And mm-hmm. What are ways we need to kind of be wary of as well?
You can do it on your own. It's just that I think that a lot of people we live in a quick fix society. And unfortunately, if your credit score is in a range that you're not happy about and you want to try to increase it, you're not going to be able to increase it by like 100 points by like, you know, within a 6 months time frame. You're just not going to be able to do it. It's going to be a slow process to get back up there. But if you make sure that you are paying your bills on time, especially with your loans and your credit cards monthly, making that payment on time, that's going to eventually start to add up and start to raise it. Don't take out any new loans or credit cards that you don't really necessarily have to. It's kind of like when, I don't know if you've ever had the conversation or a lot of people are looking to buy a new home, but one of the big things that a lot of home lender companies will say to people is don't start a new job, don't take out a new credit card. Like try to keep that credit score as nice and tight as you can. So don't add on new loans because hard inquiries will decrease it. Make sure that you're paying off all your debt. And just these are some of the ways that over time will slowly start to increase it. And again, not going to be a quick fix. It's going to take some gradual time.
And we should question companies that say they can fix it quickly.
Yes, you should, because there's some companies, and obviously I can't speak to who's legit, who's not legit. We don't really license any of these types of companies, so we can't really say if they're good or not. But a lot of times if a company's going to say that they're going to just take on all your debt for you and then make you debt-free and raise your score by like an astronomical amount, it's not going to happen. The best way is if you're struggling to pay your bills, contact the credit card companies, contact those loan companies right away, try to get on a special payment plan, work with them. They want you to pay them. They want the money, however long it's going to take them to get it from you. But relying on a different company to kind of do all that work for you while your credit card companies and loan companies aren't aware of that, it will look bad for you.
I have an opinion question because I think this could negatively impact your score or positively impact it, but I'm curious what you think. I know quite a few families who put everything on the credit card mm-hmm. each month to get the points and then pay it off. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that when it comes to how ultimately it impacts your credit score?
So I don't actually have a problem with that. And the reason why I don't have a problem with that is if we're looking at from not even so much I want to get all the free points I can get in flyer miles or whatever there is. There's a lot of different cool programs with different credit card companies. I'm not even looking at that. I'm looking from a security standpoint. utilizing a credit card versus even a debit card is safer because of the security measures that come into place with credit cards. So if you're someone that's like, oh, I'm so afraid to use my credit card because I can get into debt so easily. No, if you use it the way that's meant, then use it monthly, charge it, pay it off as, you know, when your statements due or before, pay in full, and you're utilizing your credit card the way that it's meant to be. So I don't actually have a problem with that at all.
Victoria heads up our Office of Consumer Affairs, and I think about the calls that you get that have to do with fraud, and I'm sure that you get some of these in regard to credit scores, credit reports. How do people detect fraud when there's something wrong or somebody has opened an account in their name?
So I think they say it's about 1 in 5 have some type of error on their credit report. And a lot of people don't realize it. And a credit error can be anything from like the wrong balance that was due on the account, or they claim that there was a mispayment, maybe there's not, or even like a whole new line of credit that someone is not aware of. And that is your ding, 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 red flag. Someone has my information and someone took out a loan in my name. If you're looking at your credit report and you see something that just does not look right, that's the biggest first hand's way to say, all right, fraud, problem, I gotta get on top of this. And it's a headache and a half.
That is not good.
I'm gonna be honest, it's gonna be hard, but if you have the documentation to prove that that wasn't you, if you're able to be detailed oriented and contact all three of the credit bureau companies, as well as the company involved with claiming that you took this card out or line of credit, they refer to them as furnishers, you're gonna have to dispute with all of them. And you're going to do it, a lot of them will say through the website, you can also do it through mail. I suggest going on their websites and doing it. But then they're gonna look into it, not gonna be, you know, a very short period of time, it's gonna be lengthy. They're gonna look into it, investigate, and then they're gonna let you know whether it is an error in fact or not. Sometimes they come back and say, no, we think it was you. And then you gotta show more evidence and rebuttal it. But if it comes back that it was indeed an error, they will then go to the lengths of removing it. But you also need to check a couple months from now, did they actually remove it? Because again, that can be something that is not an easy process either. So you want to check because you want to make sure there's no errors. But if you do see an error and you know it's an error, you do want to go and get it removed and rectified. Because ultimately, if someone's saying that you have a credit line that you don't have, or if something is on there is not right, it can affect your score, and you want to make sure that your score is at the most the rate that it is at based on the accurate information.
So a great score is like 800, right? If I but what is a score that we need to work on? Is there a certain level?
I mean, I would say a good range. I believe good is like 690 to.
Actually, I mean, 800 is like...
Actually, 850 is the highest.
850 is the highest.
I would say very good is 740 to 799. Good is 670. I misspoke. 670 to 740. I would say above good. Good, very good, excellent is the range you want to be. Fair is 580. So anything below 580, you want to try to maybe improve. And it's not so much of, oh, you know, the grades, A, B, C, D's when we were in education. It's like, oh, I don't want to have an F because an F's bad. You're not bad. It's just that... if you have a score of 580, you might not even be eligible for certain loans.
Right.
And let's say a home is in your future. There are some companies or FHA loans, they won't even consider you if you don't have above a certain score. Or 580, you're going to have a higher interest rate than someone that has a 800. So those are, again, ways that's how you drive yourself to want to improve. Can I save myself some money? Can I get approved for better products or better loans if I just raised my score a little bit?
There's so much to talk about in this area. Is there any other nuggets of wisdom you want to give our listeners before we go?
I think what's important too to understand with like the three credit bureaus, obviously when it comes to our credit score, Equifax, Experian, TransUnion, they're going to be our go-tos. They're going to give us scores. They're going to give us their own interpretation of scores. And then you have what's called the Vantage score that combines all three of them. So that is also something that a lot of people need to consider too, especially if they're looking for a new home. It's like, oh, we looked at your score and this is what it is. And you're thinking, well, I just checked the other day and it said it was like 740 and 720 and, you know, 690. And you're saying it's 690. But what about the other scores? You have to kind of keep that in mind too when you're buying or shopping around for a loan or credit line, because the different companies use different scores. Whether they use just one of the credit bureaus, all three of them, that makes a difference. But what I do want to say is, you don't want to consider your credit score as like a badge of honor per se, but you want to look at your credit score as being a great reflection of who you are to the financial industry. Because if you're comfortable with a very good score or good score, it reflects your whole being of like your financial wellness. And I think it's important for people to consider that a part of who they are in terms of just our everyday living. If I'm financially fit, it can play along with how I am just in my everyday life. And if we continue to do the best that we can to improve our financial health, it reflects us in many ways.
And this is the year to do it. If you can check it weekly still, yes, until December of 23, yes, it's a year to get in gear, folks.
Yeah, I mean, like I've said in previous conversations with folks, you know, this is a year that we're taking on financial issues and our financial well-being, and we're doing something about it. No longer are we going to ignore it. We're not going to like say, oh, I don't want to look at my credit score because I think it's bad, I miss payments, or I've done this in the past. Forget it. Look at it what it is now and try to build up from there.
Thank you for empowering us today, Victoria. Thank you for being with us. And for more information on all that we talked about today, and for a quick reference, anytime you need to think through finances, just visit com.ohio.gov. That's com.ohio.gov. Look for the Division of Financial Institutions, and on their landing page, you'll find some great information under the Featured Resources section. Again, I'm Michaela Hunt for the Ohio Department of Commerce, and we will talk to you next time.